There we go. What a wonderful time it is always that we get together and open God's Word. And today I want us to look at the roller coaster of life as we're celebrating and recognizing and honoring our senior adults that we so much love today. I believe they are a wealth of knowledge. That crown of gray hair that you have comes because you have taken the roller coaster of life. And I want us today to look at surviving the highs and the lows. And our senior adults have been there. You've seen the highs and you've seen the lows. You've had the good times. You've had bad times. Our senior adults have seen the time with no TV and the time with TVs. They've been through, many of you, through the depression, the rationing out of having and not having, the lows parts of life, the highs of the birth of children, and the lows of the death of loved ones. That's why we respect and honor you. Because you have been through those changes of life that many of us are going through now. And we all go through highs and lows of life. And I want us to focus on today of how great of a God that we have. And knowing that He is there with us. If we're going to survive the highs and the lows of life, this roller coaster. By a show of hands, I'm just curious, how many of you have ever ridden a real roller coaster? Probably most of us, not all of us, most of us have been there. I tell you, I love a roller coaster, but I don't like the ones that go upside down or the ones that go round and round too much. But there is something about that going up and you're leaning back and you go up on that and you come up to the high point and it's the thrill of the ride when you top over and it just goes spiraling down. That thrill. But in life, I believe there's something similar with the roller coaster. It seems like it's a slow incline to the highs of life, isn't it? But it seems as soon as we get to the high life, it ain't long before it's a quick downward spiral to a low. What are we to do? How do we get through these highs and these lows and stay who we are? Is it possible to survive the roller coaster of life? I believe by the majority in here of our senior adults, we would say yes. Because you've been there, you've done that. And we lean on to you for that wisdom. But today I want us to turn to God's Word and to see about some highs and lows in life and to see how to survive this roller coaster of life. If you would take your Bibles and open with me into the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. It's going to be after Psalms and Proverbs. A couple of books after that, you will find Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 1. Once you've turned there, if you would please stand. As you're turning there, we know that Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord. He was called by God to speak at a certain time to a certain group of people with a certain message. But how amazing that God's word still applies to us today. And he was speaking to those who were living in rebellion at one time. Let's look at Isaiah 46, verse 1. It says, Bel has bowed down, Nebo stoops over. Their images are consigned to the beast and the cattle. The things that you carry are burdensome, a load for the weary beast. They stooped over, they have bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I will be the same. Even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it. I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. Father God, I thank you today for your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear from Holy Spirit, Lord, to see what it is, Lord, that our eyes would be open to your word today. And Father, our hearts would hear and be pricked as you speak to us. Father, your children, your servants, your saved ones are listening. Would you speak to us this morning? And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. He talked there, and we'll get to it, about the gray years or the gray hairs you've lived off into life. But what is he talking about, first of all, when he was going through those names of Baal and Peor? The first thing I want us to look at are things created by man. Those were idols. And we know today that idols are created by man, and man makes them, they form them, they fashion them. But I believe names and things in God's word are important. So this morning, I want to just tell you a little bit about each of these, who they are, who he was writing about. He wrote there first about Baal. And Baal is the principal deity of Babylon. That was a god that they had made up. His name is Marduk. It's M-A-R-D-U-K. Well, why is he called Baal? Because Baal is the title given for Lord or Master, and this Marduk was the chief principal deity that they worshiped. That's a small d deity. It's a god created, like we've read in school literature about Zeus and all these other gods that they have created, the different Greek gods. Well, this was the Babylon god that was considered to be the highest esteemed, the most wanted. In their myth and believing, they have their own creation story where this Baal or Marduk created everything that there was, and then he rose to power to be Lord over all of the other gods and all of the other people. And then it talks about Nebo. He was another Babylonian deity that was associated with Mercury. He was the Babylonian god of wisdom and writing, believed to be the son of Marduk, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce this one, Serapeptinum. Two gods come together, had a son. He was the protection deity for a city known as Borsippa, which was about 15 miles southwest of Babylon. So what the prophet Isaiah is talking about in their day and time, what they would have understood to be these gods that they were worshiping. Number one, he's looking at the main God, the Lord overall, the one in their mind that was involved in creation, what these Babylonian people would have believed, and then his son that was a protection. But he's telling them that these are created by man. But he said that they were created by man, but we're going to see here, not only were they created by man, but they were created for man. Now, can you imagine creating something for yourself that's going to help you? See, Isaiah's coming and telling him, you know, there's highs and lows of life. You need a protection. There's something greater. This thing or these things that you are worshiping are things that you have created. You've created them for yourself. You've masked over the reality of what's real to help yourself. And in life, we do the same thing. We create our own idols. While none of us in here, I don't think, take wood and carve an idol and worship it, or go buy a bronze Buddha or something like that. I don't know any of us who have that in our house or have. But in life today, the world as a whole creates idols. They create things to help protect them, things made for them. I'm going to build my own empire, my own business. Maybe it's money. We put our security in. We worship in our own sense. We wouldn't call it that. None of us would dare call that we worship money. But there are those who take money, and money begins to be what their protection is, or their life. We take things that God has given us, and at times we create them to be for us. Things that we need. We feel we need protection. And yes, I'm not saying money's not a good thing. Every one of us has to have money to live. None of us would be here today without it. But the world as a whole fixates on that as their protection, what they need for everything, and they don't realize that God provides them with that money. God provides them for that. Another thing he says there, look at verse 1. It says, their images are consigned to the beast and the cattle. The things that you carry are burdensome and a load for the weary. What he's telling them is, he says, look. He said these idols, these things that you're worshiping, they can't do anything for themselves. Can you imagine? I can hear him in my own way, not what he was saying, but you know, they can't do anything for you. What makes them for themselves? What makes them think they can do anything for you? I mean, to move them from one place to the other, you have to carry them, or an animal or something has to come along and carry them. There's nothing that they can do for themselves. He says, too, that they are become burdensome and that they've been consigned to the others. Tells them that they have been taken into captivity. Let's look at Judges 18, verse 17. Let me read to you Judges 18, 17. It says, now the five men who went to spy out the land went up and entered there and took the graven images, or the idols, and the ephods and the household idols and the molten images, while the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. These idols, these deities that they were looking for protection and for worship, he's saying even they've been taken into captivity. People come and steal them. See, we create them for ourselves. They can do nothing for themselves. They wasn't able to protect themselves from being taken. What makes you think they can protect you? And then he moves to the next step that says that they can do nothing for you. It says they stooped over. They have been bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. They could not rescue the burden. He says they couldn't help themselves. They can't help you. You have a burden that you're leaning to. They can't do that. You're trusting on your own things. You see, that's what they were doing in the days of Isaiah's time. They were trying to worship. They were trying to lean on to and rely on these other gods, these idols, as a sense of protection. They would pray to them at wartime. They would rely on them to provide the fertility of the ground. They had different gods. They would provide for the fertility of humans and all these things. And Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the Lord, and he's saying, hey, these things can't do anything for themselves. You've created them for your own good, but yet they can do nothing for you. Let me read to you Jeremiah 48:7. Jeremiah 48:7. For because of your trust in your own achievements and treasures, even you yourself will be captured. And Chemosh will go off into exile together with his priest and his princes because you trust in your own achievements. Let's take this back to Isaiah's time. Because you have trusted in what you've done, there's nothing that they can do for you. Bring it to our time today. Remember, I said that there are those in the world who create their own things for their own good. You can create your own empire. We have things that we worship, these idols that we create, things in life that we create to try to make ourselves feel comfortable, try to make ourselves feel protected, try to make ourselves feel better, whatever they are. We've all got our own things in life. Even I believe as believers at times, we fall into this trap of having a security that sometimes not in the right place. I'm not saying all the time. We all, as believers, believe that God is our Lord and Savior. But how often when things come, is God the first thing we go to, or is he the last thing? How many times have I said, or maybe you have said, to someone who was going through something, well, the last thing I can do, or at least I can pray for you. No, that's the first thing we can do, church. But we choose, because we're humans and we have things around us and we turn on to these things. But he tells them there in Jeremiah, he said that you're trusting in your own achievements and treasures. Even you yourself will be captured. Oftentimes, we deal with ourselves. Maybe in your life, you have a sin that you harbor, or maybe there's just a sin that you struggle with and you refuse. We don't say it in our mouth, but we do everything we can in our own power to try to fight this. And it says there in Jeremiah that because you trust in your own achievements, you yourself will be captured. We get brought into Satan's web. And he takes us away when we try to do things on our own. When we think that our health is up to us, when we think our finances is up to us, when we think security of life and protection is all up to us, when we focus on us and things we've created, we realize real quickly that there's nothing that it can do, just as the gods in Isaiah's time couldn't do anything for them. Those of you who lived through the Depression, there was a time leading up to that everything was great. People had security. When the Depression hit, you can even tell those who were children that went through that Depression, when it comes to money, they don't want to spend money. Have you ever known one that didn't want to put money in the bank? They couldn't trust the bank. You see, the things that were set up to be trusted all fall unless they're the right thing. Secondly, now we've seen that it's talking about created by man, but what about created by God? I want us to contrast this created by God. Look at Isaiah, back at Isaiah 46:3. It says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You have been born by me," this is God speaking through Isaiah, "from birth and have been carried from the womb." So we're created by God for God. Do you see the difference? It's not created by us for us. There's something outside of us, and that's God. And he created us for him. He created us for a relationship. It tells us at verse 3, it says, "Listen to me, you who have been born from me from birth and have been carried from the womb." We've been born of water. The birth, we read in Scripture in John 3, 5, and 6, it says that Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Isaiah was telling them, God's created you. You were born of God. We were born, God created us in the womb. That's the flesh. We're born of water coming out of the lady's womb. The body is surrounded in that fluid. We're born in flesh, and we can stay in flesh, or we can be born into God's family. And we're born into God's family through the Spirit. As Jesus said, you're born of the water and born of the Spirit. The flesh is flesh. The Spirit is the Spirit. The moment we receive Christ, we're born of the Spirit. Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Amen? And he is there, and he is to guide us, and he protects us. And then we see that that which is born of the flesh. Not only did God create us for God, but God can do everything for himself. God does not need you or me. He doesn't. He created us because he wanted us. And there's a big difference. He created us uniquely. We just read, I think, in the last couple of weeks from Genesis that God said, let us make man in our image. We're created with a free will, with a choice, with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Psalm 50 verse 10 tells us that every beast of the forest is God and a cattle on a thousand hills. Everything is God's. He created us for him. He created us to love us. He created us to love him. You know, God created us. I want you to think about this for a moment. God created us knowing that we would be sinners and that he was going to send his son for us to pay the price. But I said he made us unique, and God knew who we were going to be. But you know, he made us to be glory for him. You are, as a believer, church, you're the glory of God. Let me read to you from Isaiah 43. Back just a couple of chapters. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory. Whom I have formed, even whom I have made. God formed us for his glory. We are formed in his image. You understand that God loves you? You understand how much we go through, that God is there. God can take care of himself. He doesn't need us to protect him. If he does, he's in the wrong thing, because something's going to get him. Because there are things in this life that are greater than I am. And the battle that we fight in our flesh is a battle that we can't see. So I sure can't protect God, but God can protect himself. God can move himself to wherever he wants. You know, God is everywhere at all times and all places. But it's not only that God created us and can take care of us, but God can do everything for you. God can do everything for you that you will allow him to do for you. I've said this before, God is a real gentleman. He created us with that choice. He calls us and he knocks and he invites, but he will never come walking in somewhere he's not wanted. Unfortunately, I know, I'm not going to say I believe, I know that there are churches all around this nation who don't invite God in, and he's not there. You could remove the Holy Spirit and there'd be no difference. He's where he wants to be. He can do all things for us. And what I love is that he never changes. Look there at Isaiah 46, 4. Even to your old age I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. Our God never changes. We can see in his word who he is, how he is, and all of us in this room can testify that what's in this word is true, because he does the same thing in our life. He loves us still today. He provides for us. He protects us. And remember those gods that needed to be carried by the men who created them? Well, God created us and God carries us. He says there that from the womb, Even before birth, even when we don't realize that God was forming us, God was carrying us in his hands. After we were born of the water or the flesh, God is carrying us. He's been carrying us till the present. Even when we don't see him, he's carrying us. I love that poem, the Footprints in the Sand. Many of you have read it or seen it or heard it, but it talks about that guy who's walking and there's two sets of footprints, and then he sees one and he cries out to God. And he says, God, why in the worst time of my life did you abandon me? I see the one set of footprints. And basically the poem says, God said that wasn't your footprints, that was mine. I was carrying you. Not as a commercial, but if you've not had an opportunity or something over close to, I believe it's Longview, they have this big creation of the footprints in the sand. And you see two footprints and then one, and then you look up and it's this big bronze casting of a Jesus holding a man. Carthage, thank you. I had center in the mind, but I knew it wasn't there. So it's over close to Carthage. If you ever are over that away, it's worth going through and looking and reading and just spend some time meditating. But how true that poem is, even when we don't realize it, God is carrying us. If you lived through the Depression and it seemed that God had forsaken everything, God was carrying you. Look, you're here today. You made it through. As we go through these journeys of life, it says even to the graying years or the time that you get gray hair, he said, I'm carrying you. I'm carrying you. And guess what? Because God never changes, I'm in his hands and no one can take me out of his hands even in eternity. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. And God can do everything for you, and the greatest thing he ever did was to save you, to give the world, sinners, enemies of his, an opportunity to become part of his family. I don't understand, and I say this often, how the world can reject that. So great news. That one of the things that still baffles my mind now, it's been some 7 or so years since I went to Israel. They use the same tour guide for the school every year they go, and there's tour guides that do this. It is a Jew. But this lady lives in Israel, walks where Jesus walked, knows the stories or the facts better than you and I, and can retell it to thousands and thousands and thousands of people a day, and to see it all right there and yet not believe. I just cannot understand. To hear what he's did, to know it in their head, it just can't get to their heart. But God can do everything for you. He protects you. He provides you the clothes you have on, the amount of hairs of the on your head. For those of you who still have it, some of you shave it off or some of it falling out. God provides everything. He provides our finances. He provides our homes. He provides our car. He provides the light. He provides the breath. Everything God can provide for you out of his love for you. You've been through the highs and the lows of life, the ups and the downs. Here's what I'd like to do for a moment. I think, let's go, is that next slide there? I want to do a comparison here, if you can get to that one for me. On the left side, we're going to look at what Scripture just talked about by what was created by man. We're going to call that idols or our own forms of security. On the right side, we're going to see what created by God is. And let's look at the first set here. It tells us there that man was created, or man created idols for himself. Man created for man. Created by God, God created for God. Now, secondly, we have created by man, those idols, those images, they can do nothing for themselves. Whether it be a piece of wood or bronze or money or whatever security people come up with to make their own selves feel better because there's a void in their life. They created it, and those things can do nothing for themselves. They can't protect themselves. They can't move themselves. They can't speak for themselves. But God, created by God, everything for self. God can do everything he needs. He doesn't need us. Idols need us to move them. God can do everything. And thirdly, we saw that created by man can do nothing for you. But created by God, God does everything for you. So in the roller coaster of life, the highs and the lows, remember that God's never changing. Remember that God created us. God does everything for us. And I know from talking with people in the past and thinking of the senior adults this morning that at that time gray hair begins to come on. At about that age of 50, it seems that the roller coaster is coming over the hill and it begins to go and down, and then we get to about that age 65. Many feel that they no longer have a purpose in life. They feel life's all over. There's nothing I can do for myself. Well, hallelujah, no, there's not. But what I want you to understand today is you still have a purpose. You have a crown of glory on your head, as the Bible says, with those gray hairs because of what you've been through. You have the knowledge that we need that's coming behind you. God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." Aren't you glad that God knows the plans that he has for you? Jeremiah 29:11 there, but listen, here are his plans. Some people, what's God's plan for my life? Well, here it is. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity." God wants good for us and to give you a future and a hope. So regardless of what phase of the roller coaster of life, whether it's the highs, it's the building up, the lows going down, regardless of your age, know that God is never changing. He is there. He has, from before you were born, carried you in his hands. Amen? All of your life, growing up through your teenage years, and I'm just going to say for myself and some of you I know too, all the stupid things we did through the teenage years, we're here today. God was carrying us in his hands. And as we get to those gray years of life, guess what? Y'all look here, all y'all who stood up, God is carrying you in his hands because he still has plans for you. I tell you, the day that you have completed the last thing that God has for you to do is the day you're going to leave this earth. He's not going to leave you here to be a bench warmer. He's not going to leave you here to be a knot on the log. He has plans. He has great plans for you. And that gives us hope, seeing as y'all go through it, as those times come. Guess what? I'm almost to that 50. I'm almost to that little peak going over. And there's times that I wonder, and times that my mind wonders, what's it going to be like? What's going to happen? Because on an average lifespan, let's just think about it, 50, you've lived probably half, if not more, of the life you're going to live. But guess what? When we go over that hill and we go down the roller coaster, The biggest thrill of that roller coaster is going down, not up. That's the scary part. But the excitement of the roller coaster is going down. Can we survive? May we survive the ups and downs of life, the ups of growing up and the downs of getting older, the ups and downs of birth and death, the ups and downs of financial gain and financial woes, the ups and downs of health, and all of that. We can survive that if we choose God. Amen? If we allow God to be that one in our life. The roller coaster of life is a ride. Buckle up. The downward spiral is the greatest. Some of you are living it now. You got your hands up in there. Wow, my hair is flying backwards. And it seems you're spiraling faster than you can stop it. But you've been there. You've done that. And I want to encourage you as we celebrate you, seniors, and let you know that we love you, that you're valuable to me. You're valuable to your church. You're valuable to this world that God has created. But all of that is mud compared to your value to God. He loves you. He's carrying you. He's carrying all of us. May you bow your heads this morning.